coffee or something.
I'm Thomas, I'm an alcoholic. This is the first time I've ever spoken to a group, so I don't really know where it's going to go. But I'll just go with the flow, I guess. I was born in Paris, and I lived there until I was 11 years old. I moved to Boston, lived there for 8 years. And then just recently, in the beginning of last semester, moved to Montreal. Kind of for just a geographical cure, I think is what they call it. And it actually kind of works, I guess. I grew up with an alcoholic father, and that didn't really surface until I was probably about 18. And by the time I was 18, I was already well into alcoholism. Probably started when I was about 15 years old. And I know I still vividly remember the first time I got drunk. And, you know, like a lot of people say, it was just euphoria, you know. I was like, how did I not discover this before? This is awesome. You know, and that was just in a buddy's basement, you know, a pretty safe environment, so I'm thankful for that, that I didn't do anything reckless. But, I guess that's when it, you know, really started. It started to be a weekend thing, and I played hockey for the high school hockey team, and that group, we were, you know, we thought we were the shit, you know, we walked around the school with our hockey jackets on, and we would all show up at parties and, you know, have each other's backs and fights and get really drunk. And, like I really thought I belonged, you know. That was my crew. And then, you know, once I graduated high school, all, you know, that whole scene that I had established for myself, it just vanished instantly. And, you know, everyone kind of went their separate ways, and I just did not deal with it well. My grades in high school weren't particularly good, so, you know, I applied to several different schools and only got into one of them, and that was Bridgewater State College, just south of Boston. So I went there last year. Overall, like when I was back on it, I think it was a good experience. I definitely learned stuff from it, but when I was in it, it was just hell. I lived with this kid who was, you know, clearly an alcoholic. And, you know, the drinking age in the States obviously is 21. And, you know, he had a fake ID, and it was, you know, the cool thing to do. So, I mean, I remember in the first 2 weeks we spent like $600 on beer or something ridiculous like that, and it was really the setting of the school is kind of a suburban thing, you know. The coolest thing that's open after 12 is a pizza place, you know. So not a whole lot to do, so we just got drunk all the time, and it got really old really fast, but even though it was boring, I still did it, you know. I just kept downing the beers. And then, you know, I got bored of that, and that led to other drugs. I got really into ecstasy for a while. And then, you know, I couldn't deal with how I felt after coming down from ecstasy, so I would take prescription pills to kind of balance it out, and that just made it worse, right? But anyway, so I quickly said to myself, like, I just need to get out of here. This is just not right for me. So I managed to pull off a 3.75 GPA at this school while all that was going on. I don't know how I managed that. It's kind of one of those things, like, I just have to finish all my work, and then I'll be able to drink and get hammered. And I pulled it off. So from the outside, it looks, you know, pretty decent, I guess. So I applied to Concordia. I know I wanted to be in Montreal. Both of my sisters are in Montreal. And I wanted to be in kind of a more diverse place. So, you know, then I got in. I was really, really excited to come. You know, I thought that this is a great opportunity for me to start my life over. You know, it's gonna be a piece of cake, you know, like my environment is what's making me do all this stuff. So sure enough, I came to Montreal and I was very wrong about the idea that I had about Montreal. I ended up spending so much money in the first month that I was here and being pretty miserable. So I happened to be walking between buildings on campus, and my sister was at the Wednesday noon at St. James, and she was just outside having a cigarette, and I just happened to be walking by. She happened to see me, you know, just yelled my name. I had an hour and a half to spare, and I just said, yeah, why not? You know, kind of bored, I might as well. So I went in, and I just kept coming. And it really started to make sense after a while. You know, it took a good month of coming in and, you know, trying for a week to stop and then, you know, getting drunk again. And I'm saying, okay, like, I really need to stop this. And, you know, being good for a week and then getting drunk again. Mm-hmm. So then I finally took my trip on November 4th. And so that puts me at just about 3 months now. And that's been a really, really long 3 months, honestly. You know, but it's been clear. It's been really, really clear. And I've gotten to doing, you know, little things, just little tiny things that I had hoped to be doing, you know, in Montreal. Like, you know, really, really little things. Just like setting up my room how I like it. You know, getting a gym membership. Joining, you know, certain clubs at school. Just those little things that end up being so much bigger than the things that I thought were the big things. You know, like getting a good grade on an exam or something. And those little things, like, they just make you seem like you have a life, I guess. The first 2 months of my sobriety were really amazing. You know, it was all these new feelings and this excitement to be in the program, and you know, I really wanted to go at it hard and everything. And then, you know, this last month has just been, you know, I felt like a dry drunk. You know, I spend hours watching TV and hours on my computer, and you know, like waking up. I woke up at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon today. And just stuff like that, it makes me feel like shit, you know? And I can clearly see my addiction in those things I'm doing. And I'm feeling the same pattern as with drinking, you know? Like, I just can't get out of them sometimes. I just don't know how to get out of them. I'm not being productive. And I'm getting really, you know, beating myself up over it. It's just, it's a shitty feeling, you know. And I've also been feeling really sorry for myself. Because I think I've been using AA as a medium to get the things that I think I want. And obviously, you know, I'm not seeing those things being materialized because it's just not what you're supposed to get out of the program. You know, I haven't really established a good group of friends and a good group of people to go out with. And for some reason, for me, like, that's something I really want, you know, and I just can't seem to get it. And I've just been feeling really sorry for myself, you know, and feeling like the universe isn't aligning itself for me. When the truth is, you know, it absolutely is. I'm not seeing it. I'm just not seeing it. My perception just isn't right. And I just need to change my perception on it, you know? I guess on the positive side, though, I'm really, really learning how to just be with myself and learning how to understand when I'm feeling something and understanding how to address those feelings. And you know, understanding the difference between something that is good for me and something that's bad for me, which is something that I just couldn't do before. You know, I was just living a mess. You know, with no. No idea where I was going. And I still don't have any idea where I'm going, but I'm a little happier about it. Oh, by the way, how long is this supposed to go for?
There you go.
Yeah, I need a time limit.
Are you done?
Okay. One of the passages that we read earlier in the meeting tonight was, I forget the exact quote, but it was addressing the program, you know, and this woman said, it's right here in front of me, you know, it's just right here. And that's something that I'm just not coming to terms with, you know. Like I said, I feel like I'm using AA as a medium to get me something else, and that something else just isn't showing up, you know. It hasn't showed up for, you know, the last 2 years of my life. And you know, the truth is, like, it's right in front of me. It's so clear to me, you know, like the feelings that I get when I'm in these rooms, it's stuff that it was just so beyond me before, you know. And for some reason I just can't grasp that concept that this is what I need. And I don't exactly know why, you know. My theory on it is that I never, you know, my bottom wasn't a bottom in which I lost everything around me, you know, all the physical things around me. You know, I was living with my parents. I had a place to sleep. I had food. You know, I had a car. I had everything I needed to feed my addiction. And I didn't have to lose anything. And for that reason, it's easy for me to try and justify to myself that I don't have a problem. You know, just the fact that when I look back on it, it's hard for me to get into that mental space I was in. You know, it's just not as evident as losing all the physical stuff. But when I think about you know, when I really start talking about it and think about the stuff that I did when I was drinking and using, you know, it becomes so obvious to me. And I have these moments of clarity, and, you know, for 3 days, 4 days, I'll be in a really, really, really good mental space, and then I just get really cocky with myself, like, oh, I got this shit figured out, you know. And then it comes crashing down so fast. And, you know, and it's definitely, you know, those lows in sobriety are definitely much higher than the lows in non-sobriety, we'll call it. And I've also, you know, just recently started, I haven't done any of the steps yet, you know. I just don't think that I'm ready to do them yet. I mean, I kind of feel like I am, but it's not happening, so I guess I'm not ready, right? But, I had my first really spiritual awakening probably about 3 weeks ago, and my roommates were having a party, and I knew that I couldn't drink, and I was getting really pissed off, you know, being in this social situation. So I made a pot of espresso and just downed the whole pot of espresso, and I got, you know, really, really hyper and energetic. And you know, also I for some reason had, you know, made up my mind that I wanted to get laid that night. So I started talking to this girl, you know, we ended up talking for 2 hours, and then we ended up in my room, and I was just thinking about what it was going to be in the morning, and not looking forward to what that would be like. So I just ended up saying, oh, look, I'm really tired, I'm just going to go to bed. And, you know, even though it's something small, that sort of foresight, it's something that I never would have done before, you know. But anyway, so that night, I was feeling really, really down about myself for having pounded coffee to get an effect from it. And it was about 4 in the morning, and I really just, you know, I was feeling really, really anxious, and I really just wanted to talk to someone. I just needed to talk and just get stuff off my chest, but there was no one to talk to. I didn't want to call anyone to wake in and wake them up. So I just started talking to nothingness, you know. I started talking, you know, and just started saying the serenity prayer over and over again, you know, repeating it. And after about 15 minutes of that, I just got overwhelmed by this feeling that is just indescribable, you know. It's like the only thing that I can compare it to is being on ecstasy, but it's still so much stronger than that, you know. Just a feeling of oneness, I guess you could say, and love and warmth and belonging and meaning. All in, you know, all in this one feeling, this incredible feeling. And so, of course, you know, the week that I had after that was one of the best weeks I've had in sobriety. And I also thought that I had it all figured out at that point. And so it all came crashing down after about a week. And you know, once that came crashing down, I tried so hard to find that connection again, and I prayed and I meditated, and it just was not coming to me, and I was just getting so worked up about it, you know. So it ended up that I went out to coffee with some members after a meeting, you know, and just had one of those talks that just completely revives you, you know. And so I was good for about a week after that, and then it came crashing down again. So and that's why I feel, you know, like I said this before, that this last month of my sobriety, I felt like a dry drunk. You know, that's why I feel like a dry drunk, because I've been having these ecstatic sort of moments and then just crashing. And I don't quite know how to interpret it and how to deal with it. But all I know is that every time that I come back to these meetings, you know, something happens that gets me back up there every time. And every time it's better, and every time it lasts longer. It's incredible, you know. I've also, since my sobriety, have found so many other things that I'm addicted to. Most of the stuff in my life, actually. You know, obviously, TV, computers, you know, YouTube, and this website that's actually called addictinggamers.com that I spend hours on, like, playing stupid stuff. You know, and Facebook, and not only that, and, you know, binge eating, and, you know, there's all this other stuff that I didn't realize my addictive personality touched on on that many areas of my life. And it's a big mess to clean up. But I feel like, you know, that once you sort of clean up from within, that stuff just kind of cleans itself up, right? I hope. But another one that has been really predominant in the last month is that for some reason, like more than ever in my life, I just really want to be with a woman, you know? And I know that I don't want to do it because I know that I want it for the wrong reasons. And yet I still pursue it, you know? And I got shut down this weekend. You know, on Friday, I signed up for this acting class, which is something that I never would have done being drunk, you know, because in high school I was always, you know, on the hockey team, on the lacrosse team, track, and, you know, the drama club was just something that I wanted to stay away from. I did not want that to be part of my image. And then, you know, in sobriety, I signed up for this acting class, and it's been so much fun. You know, I can't believe I missed out on that. It's been so much fun. And also, there's, you know, 60 women and 7 guys in the class, which is pretty sweet, I guess. But, so I asked one of these girls out last Friday to coffee. Turns out, of course, like, she had a boyfriend. Then I met this other girl at the cafe that I took her out to. I started talking to her, and then we made plans for last night, and she brought her boyfriend. That didn't work out, so that kind of backfired. So, I went through, like, stages of emotions within, like, 8 hours. You know, at first it was just, like, really, really pissed off. And then it was denial, and then it was acceptance, you know? I'm like, did this really happen to me? But, you know, I'm just taking it as a sign. Like, clearly someone doesn't want me to date anyone at this point, right? And, you know, it's so true. I need to be comfortable with myself and learn how to love myself before I can, you know, even try to give that to another person. And I'm not only finding that in romantic relationships, but just, you know, relationships, you know, friendship relationships or relationships in the family. And I get upset with myself that I'm not compassionate enough towards other people. And I really want to be, you know, because people are so compassionate to me, especially in AA, and I haven't found that side of myself yet. You know, I really, really want to be compassionate towards other people, but I feel selfish for not being able to be compassionate. You know, and you know, just call up people and see how they're doing, and anyways, I think I'm kind of all over the place, so I'll wrap it up. Well, yeah, the last 3 months have gone by very slowly. But I find myself in these moments of perfection sometimes, you know, just walking down the street, walking the subway. It's these moments where you just feel it. You just feel like everything's aligned. Everything is the way it should be. And those feelings, they're the most incredible highs that I've ever had. So, you know, that's kept me going for these last 3 months, even though they've been long. But I hear from a lot of people that it gets easier as time goes by faster as it goes. So I hope that will happen. So thank you very much for listening. And, you know, I would be so lost without this group. So, thank you.